Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today as we continue in our Friday study series from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. That, of course, is the name of both the book and the study guide, and if you have your copy of the guide, well, go ahead and open it up, and we'll get started right now, because here's my friend, Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Do you know God's will for your life? Have you figured that out yet?
Absolutely.
But I guarantee you there's a lot of our listeners out there that is a very perplexing, frustrating question. They're on a quest. It seems to be a never-ending quest,
right,
to figure out, to find, to discover God's perfect will for their lives. Now, why that's so frustrating is because most of us think of God's will in terms of God's plan for our life, which involves a lot of areas of life: who we're going to marry, where we're going to live, what kind of job we're going to have, all of these various aspects of life that we sometimes get stuck in the mud trying to figure out which direction to go.
Right.
And, Bob, I remember a guy years ago, Steve, who called into the radio broadcast, and his situation was a decision he had to make. And he had two different job opportunities, and he explained each job opportunity to us, and then he asked the question, which one is God's will for me?
Yeah.
And we were able to walk them through the decision process that we can go through as human beings, and the freedom that we have as human beings to make those type of decisions on our own without worry, without fear, without regret,
yep,
knowing that God's going to work all things together for our good. So really, as believers in Christ, we're a win-win situation. But then we had the opportunity to talk to him about what the real will of God is, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But getting back to Steve, you know, that decision was of such consequence to him. It paralyzed him, trying to figure out which one was going to be the perfect will of God for him. It really paralyzed him. He was stuck in the mud and didn't know how to get unstuck.
Right.
And I think that's where many people find themselves, stuck in the mud as far as life decisions are concerned. They don't know which direction to go. Well, what we want to do today is to take a shift in our thinking away from trying to figure out God's perfect plan for us as far as all of those decisions are concerned, and really focus on what the Word of God has to say about the will of God. So one thing that we do know is being paralyzed by fear, being stuck in the mud, is not God's will for us. That is not God's desire for us at all. So let's take a fresh look at what the Word of God has to say, and let's see if we can start to shift our thinking to line up to what the will of God really is. So instead of thinking about God's will in terms of a plan, let's look at it in terms of a legal will. Now, God has a will like that, and it is called the New Covenant. So we all have probably wills, and if you don't have a will, you probably need to speak to somebody and put a will into place.
Right.
It's an important legal document, and what that document does, upon your death, that document will instruct people how your assets are going to be dispersed. Now, that's a decision that you make. That's your decision. And those that you name in your will are merely beneficiaries.
Right.
They are recipients of your choices. Now, that's the same with God. He's declared some things that he wants to give to us. And when we come into the family of God, he gives us those things. We become an heir of God, a joint heir of Jesus Christ. So we're beneficiaries of this new covenant. So let's think of God's will in terms of a legal will that he has forged and is ratified through the death of the one who made it. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, we see a prophecy concerning this will of God. In Jeremiah 31:31, we read this, "Behold, the days are coming when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." So what did the prophet Jeremiah say would happen at some point in the future? He said this, that a new covenant was going to be made, that God was going to make a new covenant with the people of God, with the household of Israel and with the household of Judah. Now, God prepared his will for his people in advance. So this was many, many years ago through the prophet Jeremiah that he laid this out. But what has to happen before a will goes into effect according to Hebrews 9:16? Well, we all know the answer without even having to look at that verse. For a will to go into effect, the one who made it has to die.
Yeah.
That's when a will goes into effect. Well, Hebrews 9:16 says this, "In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it." So something had to happen. Somebody had to die in order for this new covenant to take effect. Well, Jesus Christ died at a cross 2,000 years ago, and his blood put an end to the old covenant, and it ratified, ushered in a new covenant. So whose death made this new covenant effective? Who died in order for this will to go into effect? Jesus Christ died. He's the one that died. He's the one that offered himself as the once-for-all sacrifice. So we ask this very important question, and this is a question that we all need to ask of ourselves, and we all need to come to a very sure answer as far as this question is concerned. When did this new covenant begin? When did the will of God go into effect? Well, it went into effect at the death of Jesus Christ. That's when the new will, that's when God's will for you, that's when God's will for me took effect, and we became beneficiaries of God's will. That's good news, isn't it?
That is wonderful news. That's kind of like the new covenant, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
This is Basic Gospel, everybody. It's our Friday study series and progress, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and we would love for you to continue to be with us. And if you have missed any of the sessions along the way, we encourage you to go to our archive page, and you'll find that at basicgospel.net/teaching. All the sessions are there, and your opportunity to catch up or to share them with someone important in your life. We hope you'll do that. As I said yesterday, friends, and you've heard it many times before, it is true, without your faithful support, the ministry called Basic Gospel would not be here. But you have given, sometimes sacrificially, and all of us here at the ministry are grateful that you made it possible for us to proclaim the name above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ, on a day-by-day basis. What a privilege it is to proclaim him. So let's all keep doing what we've been doing all along. And if you're new to Basic Gospel, well, we would be privileged anew for you to stand with us in support of this new covenant grace message in Jesus Christ. Be a partner with us, and you can make a gift now or any time at basicgospel.net, our regular website, basicgospel.net. As I said, we would love for you to come and stand beside us and partner with us in the proclamation of the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it is our Friday study, and Bob, let's keep rolling.
Yes, we will. Well, we're in chapter 14 of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. The name of the chapter is The Goal, and we're on page 102. So if you're joining along with us as far as following us in the study guide, turn to 102, and that's where we're going to be in this particular chapter. So we're talking about God's will. We're talking about making a shift in our own way of thinking and moving away from thinking of God's will in terms of a plan, you know, what job we're supposed to have, whom we're going to marry, where we're going to live, all of those things that are very frustrating to us. Yeah. We're trying to figure out and make sure we're making the right decision at every turn so that we can find, so that we can discover, so that we can be right in the center of God's will. Well, that's a very frustrating experience, and many people find themselves stuck in the mud when they try to go down that path. Well, God has set us free. He has liberated us, and we can make decisions of those regards on our own. And we can make those decisions knowing that God is going to work all things together for our good. So he gives us some parameters and those sort of things. And once we kind of work through the decision tree, through those filters, then we can have some confidence in our decisions. But when we really think about the will of God, we have to think in terms of this new covenant. Now, there was an old covenant that was in place. That was a covenant between God and the people of Israel. Jesus came and he fulfilled that old covenant through his life, through his perfectly sinless life that he lived, and then through his death that he died. So he brought an end to that old covenant, and he also, through death, ushered in the new covenant, because a will only go into effect when the one who made it died.
Right.
So this was a will between God the Father and God the Son. They talked about it. They discussed it even before the foundations of this world. And at a point in time, Jesus inhabited a body, and it was the will of the Father for him to offer that body as the once-for-all sacrifice so that God's will for us, for you and for me, could take effect through the death of Jesus Christ. Now, in Luke 22:20, we ask this question: how did Jesus Christ announce this new covenant to his disciples? Well, Luke 22 is the end of Jesus' life, and he has gathered his disciples in Jerusalem. They are in the upper room, and they are taking their last Passover dinner together. And Jesus infuses new meaning into that Passover meal. And he raises the cup, and he says to them, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Okay? So Jeremiah, the prophet, he announced hundreds of years prior to Christ coming on the scene that there was going to be a time when God would make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And now Jesus was standing before his disciples, raising the cup and saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. So what Jesus was saying is that the time is now. What Jeremiah prophesied, it's coming to fulfillment right now before your very eyes. In Hebrews 8:10-12, we see what this new covenant is. And the writer of Hebrews really just takes what Jeremiah wrote and he brings it over into his letter. And he says this: this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is the new covenant. Yeah. This is God's will for you and for me. This will is now in effect. Why? Because the one who made it, Jesus Christ himself, died, and in dying, he ratified this covenant and brought it into effect.
Yeah.
So this is the covenant that we're living under. So what are the four provisions of this new covenant? What has God left us in his will? Well, he's left us a spirit-led life. So this first promise of this new covenant is the fact that God will put his laws in our minds and write them on our hearts. So by the Spirit of God, he is going to etch faith, hope, and love inside of us so that we can genuinely live out this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. So the first promise is a spirit-led life. The second promise is this, or the second benefit of the new covenant is this: I will be their God and they will be my people. So what does God give us in this new covenant? He gives us assurance. He gives us confidence that we truly belong in the family of God. We are his. He is ours. So he is our God. We are his people. The third benefit is this. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. So there's a personal knowledge of God, a personal relationship that we have with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So time and time again, Bob, we always hear Christianity couched in terms of being a relationship, not a religion.
Right.
And folks will say that. We'll say it right out. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And that's true. And here in this new covenant, that's the benefit of being in this new covenant, being in the will of God. We know him, the knowledge of God, not just facts about God, but the true knowledge, heartfelt knowledge of God has been deposited inside of us. So we genuinely know that God is love. We genuinely know that God is merciful. We genuinely know that God provides and takes care of us. We genuinely know his love, his forgiveness, his grace, his righteousness, all of those things about God, we genuinely know. And we experience those through this relationship that we now have with God the Father. So one of the benefits is that we know God. That distinguishes us from everyone else on the planet. The problem out there in the world, we can come up with a lot of explanations, and we can look at it and say, man, the morals are just decaying right before our eyes. We can see how culture is living by its own truth, by its own feelings, and all of those sort of things. But at root, the real problem with the world is the world does not know God.
Right.
And so we have this opportunity to take the knowledge that's been deposited inside of us, take this relationship that we have with God the Father, and express that knowledge of God out there in the world so that others can see the truth about God. So that's one of the benefits. We know the Lord. And then the fourth benefit is this: for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. So we have a new life that is spirit-led from start to finish. We have assurance that we belong. We have relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And then we have forgiveness of sins. That's ours. That's our benefit in this new covenant. And even more than that, God says in this new covenant, he's going to remember our sins no more. That's good news.
Yes.
We live so fearfully because we're afraid of punishment. We're afraid something bad is going to happen to us in the future because of something bad we did in the past. Man, that's where most people live their lives
that's
today.
Right. Yeah.
Just scared to death, walking on spiritual eggshells. That's why there's so much anxiety in the world. That's why there's so much guilt and shame and depression out there in the world, because people are fearful of punishment. They just know something bad is going to happen. But in this new covenant, we have forgiveness of sins. We know that what bad was going to happen as far as our sins are concerned has already happened in Jesus. Jesus took our punishment for us. He took all of it, leaving none for us. So in this new covenant, we have forgiveness of sins, and we have the promise that God will remember our sins no more. Well, what does that mean for us? Well, it means this. When we go and stand before the Lord, he's not going to flash all of our sins on a big video screen up in the sky. We don't have to worry about that. No. Why? Because he remembers them no more. He remembered them at the cross 2,000 years ago and dealt with everyone in the most
complete way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So he dealt with it, and he's not going to deal with it again. So when we stand before the Lord, he's going to commend us for a life of faith, and we will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
And we see that in the Word of God. Hebrews 11 is the great hall of fame as far as Old Testament saints are concerned.
Right.
Now, when we read their story in the Old Testament, we read it warts and all, don't we?
Yeah.
We see their sins splashed across the pages of the Old Testament. But in Hebrews 11, it is simply God commending them for their life of faith.
Right.
Why? Because in this new covenant, they're the beneficiaries of this promise that God remembers their sins no more.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good news.
That is good news. And Bob, I tell you what, the way that you put that together just a moment ago about the way that we go through life and we're waiting for the hammer to drop because of something we did in the past, but combining that with the truth that he remembers our sins no more, man, that is powerful. Thank you for sharing that.
It really is powerful.
Yeah. One of the things I know that gives Bob Christopher a lot of joy besides these Friday study series programs is something called Sunday Morning Live that comes along at 9:30 Central Time every Sunday morning, and I know he would love for you to join us for that. And you can go to either Facebook or YouTube. Go to basicgospel.net, and at the top of the page you'll find links to both Facebook and YouTube. And at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, you can join Bob for Sunday Mornings Live, and I know he would love for you to do that because it's another venue that God has opened up for Bob and Basic Gospel to present this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So join us for that. We're in the book of Galatians chapter 5 for this Sunday.
Okay,
so
good.
Always excited to go through that particular passage. But back to our study, page 102, the shift, God's will is the new covenant. So if you're a believer in Christ, you are a beneficiary of God's will.
Mm-hmm.
You're already in God's will. You have already been given these benefits of the new covenant. God has put his spirit inside of you. You are a part of the family of God. You do know God the Father. You know what he's like. Why? Because the Spirit of God has brought that knowledge to your heart and to your mind.
Yeah.
So you're experiencing this relationship with God the Father, and you have forgiveness of sins. These are all things that you currently have. Now, there's just four benefits that this new covenant talks about, but I want to end on this with this encouragement. Don't underestimate the far reach of these promises where your life in Christ is concerned. These promises, these four, contain everything that you need for life and godliness. In this new covenant, within the framework of these four promises, you can live life to the full, which is God's will for you. He has rescued you through Christ and delivered you to this end. So you were worried about trying to find God's will. God picked you up out of darkness, placed you into Christ. He delivered you to the place that he wanted you to be, which is right dab in the middle of this new covenant, right in the middle of God's will.
Right in the middle of his will. Bob, what a great lesson. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on this and sharing the truth of the gospel and in the new covenant. And friends, thank you for being with us. Now, we're going to be back next Friday. Of course, we'll be back Monday for a live edition, but we'll be back next Friday to continue Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and I hope you'll be with us for that. But in the meantime, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, a program, and we hope that you'll support this ministry with your prayers and with your gifts. And when you make your gift, we have a copy of a rich resource that Bob has prepared for you. It's called The New Covenant Journey, written to help you live your life in Jesus Christ to the very fullest. Be sure to request your copy, of course, when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to, well, join us again on Monday as we, next Friday as we continue in the study, and on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. And have a great weekend, everybody, so we'll see you again on Monday. Bye-bye.